Hey gang, we all know Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that has been on the show. But did you know that aside from millions of songs, Spotify now has all of your favorite podcasts, including How Did I Get Here? Yes, all of your podcasts are available on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs, thousands of podcasts. Let's get down. Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals, are you having a difficult time navigating these tricky waters? Well, the Austin Music Foundation is here to help you. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening and connecting the local music community with innovative programs that empower musicians, music industry professionals, and music businesses within Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to help the Austin music industry succeed. Now look, ever since COVID took over last year, everything's moved online. The consultations are online. They're at no cost to the artist or to the music industry professional. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. That's austinmusicfoundation.org to find out how they can help you. Austin Music Foundation is here to help. Let's get down.
Did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, and welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I'm actually doing this on Saturday. I haven't gone to the Tiki Bar place. I'm going there tonight with my girlfriend, but Sunday we were going to go for a hike with our dog out in San Marcos and with my cousin and her dog, and probably go grab some lunch and do some, so just kind of have a Sunday. So I thought I'd do this podcast so that while we were out there doing stuff, I wouldn't be like, oh, I got to get back and do that intro. Anyway, so I'm doing it now. Hope you guys had a good Halloween, whatever it is you mean, Halloween means to you. Halloween is a weird thing to me, as it is like, you know, this giant thing, and I usually have to play on it and bring the party to whatever Halloween scene I'm doing. But 36 years ago, my mom passed away on Halloween. And so Halloween is kind of like a weird, if I don't have to do anything, if I don't have to dress up, I definitely don't. And I just kind of like chill out and do the thing. Carve pumpkins, like I told you guys, for the first time since I was a little kid. That was great. So yeah, Halloween has a weird feeling to me. And after so long, even still kind of has this bittersweet, you know, it's kind of like, this day. Now, bittersweet is kind of a weird word to use. There's a little anxiety that goes along with the day, a little bit of weight on that day. Like you walk around with a little extra heaviness that day. Think about, you know, it's been a long time. Think about my mom every day, you know. I'm sure those of you that have lost parents and stuff, especially like, you know, when you were a teenager or something, like I did, you do remember them and you wish they were around for things like this, like your podcast and stuff, or just your life, and you could be around them for, you know, going on this hike tomorrow, you know, my girlfriend, our dog, my cousin Emily and her dog. Anyway, bittersweet times. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, I hope you had a good Halloween weekend. Hope you did something fun this weekend. Hope you got out there and enjoyed this beautiful weather if you live here in Austin. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. Gang, I have an incredible show for you today. Author and professor Marcia Pally is my guest on the show today, and she wrote a book called From This Broken Hill, I Sing to You: God, Sex, and Politics in the Work of Leonard Cohen. Now, Leonard Cohen documented his troubled relationship with God, sex, politics, women, society, and this piqued Marcia's interest. As Marcia's is a, as I said, she's a writer. Normally, she's written a handful of books, And she usually writes about religion, politics, and culture. And all this culminates in this beautiful book that she wrote about Leonard Cohen. She also teaches at NYU and Fordham Universities. She is a guest professor at Humboldt University in Berlin, has been a columnist in the U.S. And Europe for the last 20 years. We have a really great conversation. We go through some songs. So check this out. She sent me a list of songs like, hey, let's talk about these specific songs. And so I made a playlist. I was going to insert the songs into our conversation, but we actually read the lyrics to the songs. And when I put the music in, I went and listened to it. I didn't think it was as cool as us reading it. However, you should hear these songs that we talk about. And I made a Spotify playlist for you, the listener, to go and listen to these handful of songs by Leonard Cohen, who is, you know, let me go back also and say that there have been years, you know, throughout my years as a musician, as a songwriter, people have been like, hey, get into Leonard Cohen, check this out. Now you go and get like his greatest hits or whatever, you listen to it. You're like, shit, man, this guy's great. He's working on another level. But that's about as far as I took it because I'm such a pop and rock guy. And it took Marsha's book, From This Hill I Sing to You, God, Sex, and Politics in the Work of Leonard Cohen, to open my eyes to his work in a new way. And so I started listening to Leonard Cohen a few weeks ago when I was reading her book and getting ready for this podcast, and I really started hearing his music in a different way. I'm actually moved. I can't believe the level that he is working at. It's almost like Leonard Cohen's here and the rest of us are down here. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he was so good, it intimidated the hell out of me. But Marsha and I have a great conversation about, we have a great conversation about her book. We have a great conversation about Leonard Cohen and kind of the life he led and what his struggles were with God, with religion, with, you know, those are things like you have to have a strong faith to have a struggle with religion. And she talks about that. We talk about a lot of stuff and it is great. Marsha's a fantastic person and I was really glad I got to talk to her. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Marsha Pally. Let's get down.
Well, thanks. Anyway, we can talk about more important things.
Than hair?
Yeah. I mean, Leonard Cohen almost never talked about hair, although he once talked about a woman's bracelets and brush as part of his adoration of her.
Who was the guy that he taught to wear cool suits?
Oh, his mentor.
Yeah.
His mentor. Layton. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, he did. I mean, he was just a cool looking guy, but he did manage to always look real cool.
Yes. Dapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a very dapper guy. Yeah. He was a dapper guy, a depressed guy, a tortured guy, a genius poet, all those things.
A genius poet. Like, just very quickly before we get into his work, my experience with his work has never been as deep as it has been for the last few days. And I have you to thank for that because people would, I'm a musician. I've been a musician my whole life. I'm a rock and roll pop guy. And people have always been like, oh, you got to check out Leonard Cohen. So I got the greatest hits or the best of. Awesome. I didn't sit there with headphones and get into the words until I sort of was guided by you to listen to these songs and sort of like this book that you've written. So now my experience is much richer with Leonard Cohen, thanks to you, Marsha.
Well, I guess that's the idea. If people pick up the book and get a deeper glimpse or appreciation of his struggles, his beautiful, beautiful language and poetry in his songs and in his poems and his two troubling novels.
I didn't even know that he wrote novels until yesterday.
Yeah, well, fortunately, he only wrote two of them, and those were the 1960s. It's a good thing that he went on to other forms.
Yeah, so what book is this for you, number-wise? Like 10th?
13, 14, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, so out of all of these books, you've written a lot about religion, politics, and culture. And this man brings, like, it all kind of culminates in his work together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And part of what drew me to him, besides the beauty of the music and the lyrics, is that he deals deeply with those three things.
Yeah, and often in one song.
Yes. Yes, his lyrics are very layered. So when do we actually go
on? Oh, we're going, Marcia.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the most like relaxed. It's so relaxed. Sometimes it offends people that are used to normal kind of interviews, but.
No, I expected a drum roll and, you know, the changing of the guard and something.
There'll be some music that plays before this comes in.
It's quite all right. That's quite all right. It's a pleasure to keep going.
Yeah. So how did you discover, let's just start, how did you come across Leonard Cohen? When did he first speak to you in a way that you heard him in this way?
Well, when I was a young girl and friends of mine introduced me to his music, which moved me very deeply. And perhaps most importantly, as a youngster, I understood that I didn't understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
That there was much more going on here than in your usual pop rock song. And that I would need to grow up a lot more and read a lot more and experience a lot more of life before I really understood what he was grappling with. But more recently than those bygone days was I was asked to team teach a class on Leonard Cohen by a colleague of mine in the theology faculty at Humboldt University in Berlin. And we did, and the students were over the moon over his songs. We played clips in every class and in analyzing his poetry and his lyrics. And since I had spent much of the previous year preparing for that course, and when I saw how meaningful the work was to young people, I said, okay, now I'm going to spend the next 3 years of my life with Leonard Cohen, intimately with Leonard Cohen. Of course, he had already died at that point. So the intimacy was with his writing.
Yeah. Do you think that he has that same effect on young people in America? He was never really huge here in America because of that. Don't you think that?
He was big here in America and for a long time huger in Europe.
Right.
As Jennifer Harness said, you know, Americans want to put on a sunny face, I'm quote paraphrasing her, and Europeans were a little more receptive to looking at someone who is grappling with what troubles us. But that changed at the end of his life when he started going on his world tours, including touring the United States. When he was in his 70s, he became a music spiritual icon everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Three of my friends were on those last tours.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, an Austin connection, because that's where I am, at one point in the 70s, and you might know this better than I do, but last night a guy was telling me this, when we were letting our dogs play together. He's a musician that plays with Lyle Lovett here. And he was like, I was telling him I was going to be talking to you. And I was like, you know, the same guys that I do that played with them. Is there anything, you know, you might be able to tell me? And apparently he got this whole band Passenger in the late 70s here, like Mitch Watkins and Roscoe Beck, who were guys that ended up playing with him at the end. But he came and just kind of got this like quasi jazz, rock fusion kind of band and played with them for a while.
Yeah, he had many iterations of people that he played with over the decades, touching a lot of musicians as well as audiences.
Yeah. So the book is called From This Broken Hill, I Sing to You, God, Sex, and Politics in the Work of Leonard Cohen. And you had suggested that we talk about some songs. And I was like, oh, I can't play songs through the whole thing. And then I realized what you meant yesterday. And I was like, oh, that's what she meant, was like, let's talk about a few songs. So you sent me some songs. Is there one in particular you'd like to start with?
If I may, I'd like to say one thing before Sure. we plunge into the songs, which I think will help listeners understand the framework, so to speak, because what I was doing, I went through all of his work for many years, and I noticed there of course are repeating things, but there's one recurring prevailing theme that is very important, which I trace in From This Broken Hill. And that's the theme of relationality, or in his words, covenant, as he was very dedicated to his Jewish tradition, and also to the Christian tradition, you know, the new covenant.
Right.
And what impressed him was that he believed that we are made for relationship with God. He called it God, and with others. We are made for covenant and deep commitment. That's how we become who we are and flourish, and yet we break those relationships daily. We break them in our personal lives, we break them in our political arrangements, and that's how we get into the soup that we are in now. That was his diagnosis, so to speak, of our personal and political travails. And so the songs that we may be set to talk about illustrate his bond with God, his breaking that bond with God, his anger at himself for breaking that bond. And the same thing with people, especially for him with women, his commitment to women, his being enthralled with women, and his bolting from women and being angry at himself for doing that. And then looking at our political sphere and saying, it's the same thing. We break our bonds with each other, those near to us, those who affect us in the global paths of our connectedness, and we break those bonds over and leading to loss, poverty, abandonment, betrayal, violence. And so the songs I sent over illustrate this recurring theme, this struggle. He didn't solve it in his life, but he gave it voice, and we're very fortunate to have had someone as talented as he was to give voice to these struggles that many of us see in our own lives.
Yeah. There's not, that's one thing I notice is as a songwriter and being somebody who has listened to so much music my whole life, is that I'd never seen anybody sort of express these things so poetically and still clearly. You know what I mean?
You know what Lou Reed said? If we could all write songs like Leonard Cohen, we would.
Yeah. I watched his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction yesterday. For some reason, uh-huh. I felt like that would give me some kind of insight. And it did. There was some line that he read from a song and he was like, that's it. Like, and he still wrote songs after that. Can I ask you a question, a personal question? What's your relationship with religion at this point?
Well, I also believe, like Leonard Cohen, that we are made by the transcendent. Again, Leonard Cohen called that God, and whatever that means to you, that we are made for relationship with the transcendent source of existence, and at the same time with each other, that these relationships are inseparable. We are made for commitment to each other and commitment to God, and that's what makes us flourish And when we abandon those commitments or betray those commitments, we do serious harm to ourselves and others.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what song should we start with, Marcia, of these to sort of go through?
You're going to let me.
Yeah. Well, we can start with, let's start with If It Be Your Will, because that song to me, the way that it comes off is like a hymn.
It is a hymn. And it's a very good place to start because it demonstrates Cohen's commitment to the divine, to God, even though he knew he couldn't stay constant. He was in and out. But you don't struggle with God if you're an atheist. You only struggle with God if you believe in God.
Right.
So we can start with If It Be Your Will. Do you want to play it or how do you want to, or do you want me to read a little bit from it?
Or? Yeah, you can read it or yeah. I've got the lyrics too, but yeah, I would rather hear you read it.
Okay. You go ahead if you want to read it.
Okay, so this is the lyric. If it be your will that I speak no more and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more. I shall abide until I am spoken for, if it be your will. If it be your will that a voice be true from a broken hill, I will sing to you. From this broken hill, all your praises, they shall ring. If it be your will to let me sing. Do you want me to finish it? And
it's your podcast. Okay. I don't know how much.
I'll go ahead and finish. I don't normally do this like this, but this is great. From this broken hill, all your praises, they shall ring. If it be your will to let me sing. Sorry. If it be your will, if there is a choice, let the rivers fill, let the hills rejoice. Let your mercy spill on all these burning hearts in hell, if it be your will to make us well. And draw us near and bind us tight, all your children here in their rags of light. In our rags of light, all dressed to kill, and end this night, if it be your will. If it be your will.
Yeah. It is like a hymn or a prayer.
Yeah.
And I chose that because I think for those who belong to recognized or churches that are familiar and those who don't, I think that song that you just read, If It Be Your Will, really expresses people's feeling of connection to a transcendent source.
Yeah.
Whose will we may not know, may not understand, certainly not understand all the time, who we may doubt, we may struggle with. Why do bad things happen in the world if there is an omniscient and perfect God? So we don't understand this will of God's. And yet many of us would feel completely abandoned without it. And we struggle with that. Leonard Cohen in particular struggled with not only his commitment to God and his inability to sustain it, but also with why did God create us for relationship and yet so easily able to break those important relationships? What kind of God is that?
Right.
And again, that's a question that comes up among those of us spiritually inclined all the time. Why has God created the world in the way that we mess it up so badly?
Yeah.
It's often attributed to our free will. God gave us free will, and so we sin, or so we do wrong.
Yeah.
But Leonard Cohen wasn't satisfied with that because for him it just meant, well, why did God create us with a free will so easily able to break our relationships? And he struggled with this through 60 years of poems and lyrics and song. And I think this speaks to people of all ages at all times.
People, yeah. These are the same sort of like, these struggles go back to the Bible. You know, there are those struggles in there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let me take this forward a notch.
Sure, please.
By adding to this beautiful prayer and hymn where Leonard Cohen feels close to God, let me take it forward a notch by showing you how he could also be angry at God for making the world in a way that Leonard Cohen didn't understand it.
Right.
He knew he didn't understand the will of God. And I'm going to start with his 1963 novel, where the leading figure, main character, is really a kind of avatar for Cohen himself, shares many biographical features with Cohen. And he has this main character say in anger to God, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, the earth is full of your glory. If I could only end my hate, if I could believe what they wrote and wrapped in silk and crowned with gold." The protagonist believes in God, but he's also angry at God and finds the words of the Bible written on parchment or wrapped in silk and placed in golden arks and golden temples. But for this protagonism, his hate and his skepticism crowd God out. And this is the struggle of Leonard Cohen and of many serious believers, many theologians and ordinary people seriously struggle with wanting to feel close with God and doubting God and anger at God. Why do people die? Why is there disease, war, famine? Why is there COVID? And he gave such beautiful voice to this struggle. He could be very angry at God. Let me give you one more example of that. Very short, very short. He has in his 1974 song, "Lover, Lover, Lover," which is both sexy and spiritual. It's a great song. He has God say to humanity, he is in an argument with God in this song, and he has God say, "I never, never turned aside. I, God, never turned aside. I never walked away. It was you who built the temple. It was you who covered up my face." Humanity walked away, covering God's face with the fetishism of ornamented temples.
Right.
And this is just what you referenced before about the Bible. This is the prophetic voice. Amos, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, they all pointed out to humanity abandoning God in our own confusion and then getting angry at God. So here, Leonard Cohen gives God voice. It's you who walked away. And Leonard Cohen is struggling with this God and his own walking away.
Right. Yeah. The whole song has that, like it starts off with him calling out to God, like, "Father, change my name. The one I'm using now, it's covered up with fear and filth and cowardice and shame."
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also see that in Cohen's very famous "Hallelujah."
Right.
Where in one of the verses he taunts. Now, here's, we just had God being angry at humanity in Leonard Cohen's poetry. And here we're going to flip it around, Leonard Cohen being angry at God. And in the very famous "Hallelujah," Cohen writes, "You say I took your name in vain. I don't even know your name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to you? You, God, charge humanity with breaking relationship with you, with taking your name in vain.
Yeah.
But God, you didn't even tell me your name.
Right.
So how much relationship do you really have with me, with humanity? And anyway, you created humanity so that I can violate your covenant. So if I do, what do you care? You made me that way. Now, these are very foundational struggles that people have with their own spirituality, whether they belong to an official church or not. And all you need to see is a sick child, and there's a moment of anger with God.
Yeah.
And more so if you believe in God.
Right.
This is all part, I think, of a mature struggle with the transcendent. And Leonard Cohen had also the same back and forth with women, wanting to be with women, being drawn to women, being enthralled with women, and then not being able to sustain that connection.
Right.
And then being angry at himself and angry at women for not being able to sustain the connection. So it's a kind of parallel struggle to his struggle with God, because he's really dealing with relationship itself.
So
is being in relationship with self, be it with God, be it with women, for him with women.
Right.
And he was dealing with that paradox of wanting to be in and bolting, fleeing. With women, it was very clear that he feared two things. He feared women wouldn't give him access to them, to them, to their warmth, to their company, to their sexuality. He has in an early song he wrote, "And you stand there so nice, you, a woman, yeah. You stand there so nice in your blizzard of ice. Won't you please let me into your storm?" He really wants to be close and is afraid that women will deny him access. But as soon as women get close to him, he fears that the commitment of relationship will threaten his autonomy, his independence, his intactness. And then he bolts. So it's a yo-yo of attraction, commitment, and flight. As the philosopher Babbage very aptly said, and with Cohen it was rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, love and loss, love and loss. And his wonderful biographer, Sylvie Simmons, also said, you know, there were two things that Cohen loved most of all, you know, an escape clause and the exit. and then he would mourn the loss that he himself authored, that he himself committed.
Yeah. I've experienced that in my own, you know, my own journey. Those kind of things really hit home. But what I was going to say is that it's really interesting that this, it makes sense in this song, Lover, Lover, which is almost like a conversation back and forth with him and God, kind of wrapped up in this romantic song, or seemingly yeah. romantic song.
Yeah. That song is, as I said, is so both spiritual and sexy. It might be worth playing just a bit of it, because it's one of his best. But I don't know how that works for you.
I can do it in the post, though. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
Definitely. I want to talk about this other song, if at all possible, Everybody
sure.
Knows.
Oh, yes.
Which you had picked up, which is, there's all kinds of stuff in here. A lot of sin. A lot of adultery. Actually, just adultery has its own verse. What made you choose this song?
So Everybody Knows is, in a way, Leonard Cohen's template for his work on politics. And he has done many political songs, Lands of Plenty, Democracy Comes to the USA, First We Take Manhattan, Then We Take Berlin. He's very well, Amen, later in his life. And everybody knows from the 1988 is a kind of template, because it brings together Cohen's struggle, bond with and bolting from God, which he believes we all do, his commitment to others in his personal life, and as you said, betrayal,
yeah,
right? Betrayal gets its own verse.
Yeah.
And also in politics. And this is, so betrayal of our bonds with God in our personal lives and in our political lives is for Cohen something like a dark trinity. They are all of our, it's all a version of our problem with relationship. And he begins the song with politics.
Right.
Then he slithers his way into personal betrayal.
Yeah.
And ends with betraying God on Calvary.
Right.
And as he says, you know, the world is about to blow, and yeah, everybody knows. Because if you violate these three bonds with God, with those in your personal life, and in your and in politics, what bonds are there to hold the world together? Of course the world is going to blow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing because it's almost set up like... The way that it's sung and delivered, it's almost like a song from a musical. You know what I mean? Like it's like when the dark guy comes out and goes like, all right, this is what's going on in this story. You know what I mean? It has that feel to it, the way that he sings it and everything.
Oh, that's really interesting insight.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think that?
I'm fascinated by the suggestion. Yeah, it's kind of like the bad guy coming out and laying all his devious plans out for the audience.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, the dark. His voice also lends itself to that sort of menacing character, you know?
Yes, you know, and when he was a young man, he just plain couldn't sing. And it's a good thing. People like Judy Collins and every other, many, many other singers picked up his work.
Right.
But as he got older, your point is right on target, because as his voice got deeper and gruffer, it became actually more appropriate to his own voicing universal human struggles.
Right.
If you want, I'll read a few lines from Everybody Knows so you can hear the... So it begins with politics.
Right.
Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. And then a few verses down, he slides into the unfaithfulness in personal relationships. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were just so many people you had to meet without your clothes. Everybody knows. And a little while later comes the betrayal of the final bond with God. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach of Malibu, everybody knows it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows, and everybody knows.
Unbelievable. We're not even gonna, it's really unbelievable, like his writing. I have to thank you, because honestly, like somebody just telling you to go get a, you know, a Leonard Cohen record never worked like that for me, you know. What about Suzanne? That's like, that was like pretty much his first hit. Is that right? Kind of?
You know, he told when, He told Judy Collins, who heard him, quote, sing, since he was not such a great singer, heard him sing Suzanne, that he didn't even know if it was a song. And this non-song became an enormous popular hit, and largely because Judy Collins sang it in the 1960s.
Oh, okay.
And it became... it moved many, many people. And there's a song again that that begins with the love of a half crazy girl named Suzanne. And then the second stanza is about a half crazy guy named Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the third stanza, the two are melded together. He creates a kind of Jesus Suzanne, a figure. And there, way back in 1967, you see this theme already, that the issue is our relationship both with God and with other people. It's right there in the three verses of Suzanne.
Yeah. Want me to read a verse from it?
Sure.
I'm going to read the second one where Jesus comes along, because I really think it's such a beautiful, here we go. And Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said all men will be sailors until the sea shall free them. But he himself was broken long before the sky would open, forsaken, almost human. He sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the part where he says that he himself was broken, a reference, of course, to the crucifixion, long before the sky would open, before the resurrection. He endured crucifixion as a person. And he sank beneath your wisdom, human wisdom. That we are so occupied with what we think is wise and important and smart, and that we didn't hear Jesus.
Right.
He sank beneath all of our yatter chatter about what we think is so smart.
Right. So he was raised Orthodox. He was a Orthodox Jewish kid, right? His grandfather was a rabbi, and his uncle was a rabbi as well.
Yeah, he came from an important religious Jewish family in Montreal, and had several rabbinic scholars, as you say, in among his grandparents. And as he wrote, he remained a committed Jew all of his life. And as he said, in my half-assed way. And they were the kind of half-assed years when, in the 60s and 70s, where there was a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but he still observed the important Jewish rituals, taught them to his children. And then there were the not-so-half-assed years where he became a serious student of the Bible, of the Talmud, of Jewish thought. I'm very honored that Rabbi Mordechai Finley, Leonard Cohen's spiritual advisor at the end of his life, reviewed and blurbed my book, From This Broken Hill. I was moved to tears when he did that.
Awesome.
I was just moved to tears that he must have thought that I got something right about Leonard Cohen.
But you did. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've been a musician like since 1982, and people have said, listen to Leonard Cohen, but never introduced me to his work the way that you have. Honestly.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. I suppose is, you know, it's not a long book. And
no.
I think the goal is that people can get in touch with this artist who is very moving and very accessible. You read it, you hear it, you know why it touches you, yeah, and it touches you about the important things of life. Yeah.
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 Yeah. There's a thing that I didn't realize that You Want It Darker was released 3 weeks before his own passing. But I grew up a giant David Bowie fan, and I don't know if you know Dark Star. Obviously, a similar sort of thing is here. Yeah. Here it is. Here's my artistic expression of the end of this thing, which it is making all the hair on my arms stand up. Just the fact that somebody is such an amazing artist that they realize that you gotta do the whole thing, you know. And I'm going to go, you want me to read this one? I'm going to read the whole thing because it's just so beautiful.
Okay.
Is that good? Okay.
As you like.
It's a pretty stark, like, production. I'll play this song as the main song at the end of the thing so people can hear.
Yeah, I have one thing to say to viewers.
Please do.
You Want It Darker is Cohen's last song collection when he's alive, released three weeks before his death. It's, I think, poetic and music genius. Don't listen to it before you go to sleep because you won't sleep.
Yeah, don't. All right, so this is You Want It Darker. If you are the dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, it means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. If you want it darker, we kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified, be the holy name, vilified, crucified, in the human frame. A million candles burning for help that never came. You want it darker. Then musically, it does this thing where there's like a suspenseful, darker chord that just kind of pauses and holds, and then it moves into this major key where he says, Hineni, that's how you pronounce that?
Hineni.
Hineni. Which means here I am, and I'm ready, my Lord. So this is him saying, like, you know, this is it. You put out the flame, and I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, it's he begins by being angry. Just what you read. He's still angry. God, you know, at eight, he was not a sentimental guy. And even at 82, knowing that he was ill and dying, he wasn't going to give God a pass for making us the way we are, making the world the way we are. All the things that Leonard Cohen struggled with throughout his life, he wasn't going to give him a pass just because he was an older guy. Yeah. So it begins angry. You know, if you're the dealer, I'm out of your game. Yeah. You know, I don't want to, right? But the refrain that you just read, magnified, sanctified, be thy holy name, vilified, crucified in the human frame, a million candles burning for the help that never came. He's still angry at God, that God allows vilification, crucifixion, and help that never comes. What kind of God is that? And yet he comes to Hineni. I am here, my Lord. I am here for you. It's not a resolution. It's an uncomfortable, mature recognition that this God, whom we don't understand, is God. Is the only God, the first and second commandment. And we have to struggle to understand God. And this song captures Cohen's lifelong struggle with God and his lifelong commitment.
Yeah.
In the word Hineni is also a recognition that we are meant to be committed to other people as well, because Hineni is the response that Abraham in the Bible gives to God when God asks him to sacrifice his son Isaac, but also it's the response Abraham gives to Isaac, the boy himself. And so by using this word, this Hebrew word, hineni, Cohen is recognizing that we are willy-nilly, we are in relationship with God and with Isaac at the same time. And remember, that sacrifice never happens.
Right.
It never happens because God would never let that happen. Because if Abraham had sacrificed Isaac, it would end his relationship with God. The two relationships are together. And by using that word that signifies hineni, commitment to God and to the boy Isaac, to other people, Cohen right there in his brilliant layered writing captures for us our created and natural commitments to God and to other people. And he does it so quickly. In a word, he gets it all.
Yeah, genius. It is. I'm going to read the next verse.
Great.
I like this one. I'll read it and then you respond to it. This is really fun for me. Thank you. Normally, I just have people on here pushing their latest record. It's like some guy from Styx, but this is like a really amazing conversation. All right, here's the second verse. There's a lover in the story, but the story is still the same. There's a lullaby for suffering and a paradox to blame. But it's written in the scriptures, and it's not some idle claim. You want it darker. We kill the flame. They're lining up to prisoners, and the guards are taking aim. I struggle with some demons. They were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker. And then it goes back into the hineni. I'm ready, my Lord.
Yeah. So there's a lover in the story. There's always a lover in the story. One is God, and one is all the lovers in our lives. And I don't only mean sexual loves. I mean all important commitments in our lives. But there's a paradox. This is the paradox of Cohen's life. We love and we betray and leave our lovers. Not all the time, but enough of the time to get ourselves in the soup. He had demons, no kidding. What have we just been talking about?
Yeah.
And again, he doesn't let God off the hook. How, you know, you, God, want it darker. And we, your dependent creatures, kill the flame. That's how the world is structured. Somehow, this inscrutable God we don't fully understand, somehow there he has created a world with so much darkness in it. And we do it. We do it to each other. And this is the pain that Cohen confronted all his life. You know, how dark? We murder and maim. That's what we do to each other. Yeah. And then he comes back to hineni, and yet I am here, my Lord. I don't understand you. Maybe humanity is not equipped to understand the transcendent, but I'm here.
Are you on a quest, your personal, with all of your education and educating, as well as he obviously is, on some kind of journey to find out why we are here? Or have you given up on that big question?
Certainly not given up.
But yeah.
I think I read and I study religion and culture and artists like Leonard Cohen to find out how the world works. Not that I'm going one day to figure it all out.
Right.
Right. But that maybe every day I can learn a little bit more, come to being a little less stupid than I was the day before. And you know, I'm a professor at universities. And I try to help my students understand, they're young adults, maybe to understand a little bit more how the world works. That's what we can do.
Yeah.
Right? Step by step, every day, one foot forward, try to understand a little bit more how the world works and what works in the world. What brings us to loss and grief and violence and betrayal? And what doesn't? What brings us to flourishing and thriving and sometimes our soaring achievements, for example, in art, in the art of Leonard Cohen, or in music, your field? We human beings can achieve so much beauty and so much damage. That's what we need to figure out. That's the paradox that Leonard Cohen talks about in this final song, You Want It Darker. And we have to try to figure that paradox out step by step a little better every day. Or otherwise, as he said, and everybody knows, it's going to blow.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you a weird sort of broad question? We've spent the last at least couple of years in a very intense situation that would make a lot of people doubt humanity, God, culture, you know, their own relationships. Do you see this as just it ebbs and flows and we're just in a very weird time and it'll eventually people will start mellowing out again? Well, you just seem really smart, and I thought I would ask you, maybe you give me some kind of insight.
Oh, no, maybe that's a little bit above my pay grade, but, humanity has gone through darker and less dark times. I mean, we had the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages.
Right.
We had Ebola. You know, we had the flu in 1918, 1919, and many other wars and catastrophes that come from the natural world and our own violent capacities.
Right.
I perhaps what Leonard Cohen is trying to tell us in looking at these three things together, relationship with God, each other, and in politics, is that if we don't really attend to and care for these relationships, we are going to blow up our world, because those are the bonds that holds the world together. And this pertains to our relationships with people all over the world. I mean, we have to figure out how to have an economy and global trade without killing each other off. And we have to figure out how to have a society that doesn't leave so many people impoverished and homeless on the street and without medical care. Because if we don't attend to those human-human bonds as a reflection of our human bond with God, we are going to destroy our world. We are just smart enough a species to kill ourselves off.
Yeah.
So we need to use some of that smarts to stop doing that, to flourish instead.
Instead of imploding.
Yeah.
Well, Marcia Pally, this has been a great conversation. Your book, From This Broken Hill, I Sing to You, God, Sex, and Politics and in the Work of Leonard Cohen, is available on TNT, Clark, Bloomsbury Publishing. Their books.
Also Amazon.
Amazon.
One click.
Right. One click.
Every one click. Right. It's the magic of the click. Go to Amazon.
Yeah. And you also, this is your 14th book. There's a lot out there. You've also been a columnist for the last 20 years, writing for all kinds of outlets.
Yes.
And this latest book, this is really amazing that you're able to shine a light on this, because I think that even maybe people that are fans of Leonard Cohen that are listening to this are going to take even a deeper dive with it. And maybe some people that are casual that know Hallelujah and Suzanne and First We Take Manhattan, then we take Berlin, like I did, we'll take a deeper dive. And people can find you at MarciaPally.com. I'll put links to that, and I'll put links to the Amazon book. Is there anything you'd like to let the people know before we go?
Only that if you've never heard of Leonard Cohen, or if you've been a fan for many years, you can start anywhere in your approach to his great work. There's no special training required. Just start listening, just start reading. And I hope From This Broken Hill helps people kind of unpack him a bit and get the most out of his poetic genius.
Yeah, because he was definitely a poetic genius. Well,
yeah, this is great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day, and good luck with the book. I hope that a lot of people end up reading it.
Thank you very much. This was a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
Bye.
That's Marcia Pally. Her book, From This Broken Hill, I Sing to You, God, Sex, and Politics, in the work of Leonard Cohen, is available now wherever it is you get your books. You can find her at MarciaPally.com. The book is available through T&T Clark Bloomsbury Publishing. Fantastic book. Go to MarciaPally.com. I'll put a link to it in the podcast. Fantastic book. Get into Leonard Cohen. If you're new to the show, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Marcia. If you're a regular listener, I hope you enjoyed it, because it was really fantastic, wasn't it? We really dove into Leonard Cohen's work, and it was great. I want to thank Marcia for doing the show. It was great talking to her. All right, you can find her at MarciaPally.com. Get out there and check out this book, From This Broken Hill, I Sing to You, God, Sex, and Politics, in the work of Leonard Cohen. Gang, when you're out there checking out MarciaPally.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere, new shows all the time. This week, we're dropping 3 shows. Avocados will be here on Wednesday. All right, here's some more music for Leonard Cohen. Have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. Let's get down.
If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker. We kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. I'm ready, my lord. There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby for suffering and a paradox to blame. But it's written in the scriptures, and it's not some idle claim. You want it darker. We kill the flame. Lining up the prisoners and the guards are taking aim. I struggled with some demons, they were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker. I'm ready, my lord. Thank you. If you are the dealer, let me out of the game. If you are the healer, I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, mine must be the shame.